Yeah, so Judges chapter 8, verses 1 to 21. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, Why have you served us thus, that you called us not when we went to fight with the Midianites? And they chided him sharply. And he said unto them, What have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vineyards of Ebenezer? God has delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb and Zeeb. And what was I able to do in comparison? Then the anger was abated towards him when he had said that. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over, he and the 300 men that were with him, faint yet pursuing them. And he said unto the men of Succoth, Give, I ask you, loaves of bread unto the people that follow me, for they are faint. And I am pursuing after Zebah and Zalmunna, kings of Midian. And the princes of Succoth said, Are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in your hand, that we should give bread unto your army? And Gideon said, Therefore, when the Lord has delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into my hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. And he went up thence to Penuel, and spoke unto them likewise. And the men of Penuel answered him as the men of Succoth have answered him. And he spoke also unto the men of Penuel, saying, When I come again in peace, I will break down this tower. Now Zebah and Zalmunna were in Karkor, and the host with them, about 15,000 men, all that were left of the host of the children of the east. For there fell 120,000 men that drew the sword. And Gideon went up by the way of them that dwell in tents in the east of Nobah and Gobihah, and smote the host, for the host was secure. And when Zebah and Zalmunna fled, he pursued after them, and he took the two kings of Midian, Zebah and Zalmunna, and discomfited all the host. And Gideon, the son of Joash, returned from the battle before the sun was up, and caught a young man of the men of Succoth, and inquired of him. And he described unto him the princes of Succoth, and the elders thereof, even 77 men. And he came unto the men of Succoth and said, Behold, Zebah and Zalmunna, with whom you upbraided me, saying, Are the hands of Zebah and Zalmunna now in thy hand, that we should give bread unto your men that are weary? And he took the elders of the city, and thorns and of the wilderness and briars, and with them he taught the men of Succoth. And he beat down the tower of Penuel and slew the men of the city. Then he said unto Zebah and Zalmunna, What manner of men were they with whom you slew at Tabor? And they answered, As you are, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, They were my brothers, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if you had saved them alive, I would not slay you. And he said unto Jether his firstborn, Up and slay them. But the youth did not draw his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. Then Zebah and Zalmunna said, Rise you and fall upon us, for as the man is, so is his strength. And Gideon arose and slew Zebah and Zalmunna, and took away the ornaments that were on their camels' necks.
Let's just pray again. Father God, I just bring before you my mouth and my spirit, and I ask that your words and your spirit will be active this morning. As we look into your word, Father, we would like to be challenged and touched and encouraged and uplifted. Lord, speak to us this morning. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. Last week I spoke fairly generally from the book of Judges, and some stuff that the Lord had been challenging me on as we've been going through Judges and as we've been reading. And I really want to encourage you that don't ever just read portions of the Bible once. Don't ever read them once. don't ever read them just twice. Because I believe the Lord would like us to look and to dwell upon His Word, to think about it. And I find for me some of the greatest depth of understanding of Scripture come when I find a passage and I just read it over and over and over again. And I just ask the Lord, Lord, just teach me, teach me, teach me. And so when we speak from the book of Judges, I suppose I believe in the encouragement from Rod and Ken and myself and anyone else who gets up here would be, don't just take our word for it. And don't just hear what we say and say, well, that's all there is to get from it. Because the reality is there is so much in every verse. There is so much in every chapter. There is so much in every book. So if you have the opportunity through the week, go through it again and again and again and ask the Lord to teach you, to encourage you, to build you up, to reveal to you from His Word. Because we aren't the only ones that receive from His Word. We aren't the only ones that are able to teach. God, above anything, through His Spirit, is able to teach and reveal to you directly. What I share, and I believe what the others share, is what God gives them and myself, and often for me, it is what He is challenging me on. I believe at present, you know, from last week, God is challenging me on faith. He is challenging me on boldness. He is challenging me to not fear man, but to fear God. He is challenging me to be righteous. He is challenging me to look forward. They're all things that He is challenging me on. But they were all things that He gave me, I believe, as I spent time just sitting and dwelling upon His Word. And I would encourage you to do the same because I believe He will speak to you. I pray and hope that the only time you receive a word from God is not here on a Sunday. Because it is an ongoing daily pursuit. And there is so much more. So what I want to share this morning is simply again a glimpse of what I believe God has shown me. Some truths that I believe He has encouraged me from Judges chapter 8 and from the life of Gideon. And from this, in a sense, one event in Gideon's life. One event. This is what He has shown me. I don't believe it's necessarily a theological thesis on Gideon or on his life. It is simply what God is challenging me from the life of Gideon and from how he lived and who he was. So going through this chapter, and I didn't get James to read the whole chapter because I thought there were enough hard words as they were in that first section. And it is challenging when you're reading some of these sections, and I really thank you for what you did, James, and for your willingness to do that. But we are going to look at this entire chapter, and I'm just simply going to flow through as I believe God gave me, as I went through, and sometimes He works in chunks, sometimes He works in certain words, and this time it seems to have been, as I read through, He just was keeping on telling me to be. Because sometimes I think we get caught in the doing. But this time He was just telling me, just be. This is what I want you to be. Now sometimes when we are what God wants us to be, we will do, but it often comes out of an attitude of being. And so today, if you are going to take notes, there's going to be this and be that and be that. And please, in what I've said so far, I pray that you would just take from this and from whatever I say now, God is talking to me and this is what He's asking me to be. I don't stand here and point a finger, because if I point a finger at you, there's three fingers pointing back at me. You know that, don't you? I pray that you know that. in anything I say, these are the challenges that God is laying before me. So, Judges chapter 8. In verses 1 to 3, where we have, in a sense, the following through from Judges 7, where Gideon has attacked the Midianites and thousands have been slain, but there are some who have escaped, and now they're going to chase them, they're going to pursue them, and I'll come back to that word a little bit later. They're going to pursue them. So here we have the setting. There has been a battle, but the battle is ongoing, but it is moving from area to area as Gideon chases, because Gideon is wanting to fulfill the fullness of what he has been asked to do. And God has said, leave none. Some have escaped. About, what was it, 12 or 13,000 or something like that? 15,000 out of 120. No, sorry. 15,000 out of 135. There was 120 that were slain. There was 15 that were running. There was 135. Remember, this is 300 men chasing 15,000. Got to keep that in our mind. This is 300 men who have already defeated 120,000. 300 men. And they're pursuing. They're pursuing them. And it says, then the people of Ephraim asked Gideon, why have you treated us this way? Why didn't you send for us when you first went out to the fight, to fight the Midianites? And they argued heartily with Gideon. But Gideon replied, What I have accomplished compared to you aren't even the leftover grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop. Sorry. Aren't even the leftover grapes of Ephraim's harvest better than the entire crop of my little clan of Abiezer? God gave you victory over Oreb and Zeb and commanders of the Midian army. What have I accomplished compared to that? When the men of Ephraim heard Gideon's answer, their anger subsided. What God tells me from this is that we are to be gracious and humble. You might say, sorry. To be gracious and humble? They're fighting a fight. They're killing people. They're in a chase. They're chasing down 15,000 people. How do we get gracious and humble out of that? What we get here is that Gideon had sent out the message for people to come and help. He had sent out for others to come and be a part of the fight. And what he gave the people from Ephraim is he gave them a responsibility to take over some of the crossings of the river so that those that were escaping couldn't go any further. He had set them in strategic places and they had won a victory. But they came to him and said, why weren't we in the main fight? Why didn't you call us to help you? Why did you leave us out on the side? Aren't we good enough? And they began to accuse him. But what God speaks to me here is there'll be all sorts of opposition that'll come out of that, come up in our lives. There'll be all sorts of difficulties. There'll be all sorts of words spoken, different things people will have against us. The way that Gideon dealt with this, I believe, was part of his character. He was gracious and humble and said, guys, he said, I'm sorry that I didn't get you involved in that main fight, but I want to honor you for what you did do. I want to honor you for the part you played. Did you guys realize that the part that you played was so much greater than what we did? Do you realize that the grapes that we have aren't anything compared to the massive harvest that you have? Do you realize that we appreciate you for the job you do? And they stopped. And they stopped being angry. And they realized. And they said, thanks for that. Maybe they sort of looked at him and said, nobody's ever told us we're great before. Nobody's ever lifted us up before. Nobody's ever encouraged us before. We've only ever felt on the outside. We've only ever felt little. We've only ever felt like we're just the add-ons. Nobody's ever actually esteemed us before. Thank you. You know, a kind word. Kind word, a gracious word, a humble word puts away anger and wrath. The word tells us that. In Romans chapter 12, verses 3, 10 and 16, it says this. Because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Don't ever overestimate what you are. Be gracious, be humble. Recognize that it is God's gift. And in verse 10, it says, this is verse 10 of Romans 12, love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. Don't be the kind of people that just look at your victories and look at what you've done and say, aren't we great? You know, we can even get that attitude even just as Christians. We can think we are over and above everybody else because they're not Christians. They haven't accepted Christ. And we can become proud and arrogant and we can deal with them in that way. But yet God is saying, be gracious, be gentle. Be humble, honor them, lift them up. And in verse 16 of Romans chapter 12, it says, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people and don't think you know it all. Wow, some powerful verses there, aren't there? And I suppose for me, Gideon speaks here of being gracious and humble. Yes, he was a man of war. Yes, he was out there fighting. But at the same time, he was willing to see others, to pick them up and to lift them up and say, it's okay, you're doing a great job. You're doing a great job. Look, there are other verses. Colossians 3:12, where it talks about it, and also James chapter 4, 6. I'll go to that one. I love James. James is such a... You're a great bloke, James. Love you, mate. Oh, but James 4, 6 to 7 says this. But he gives us even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud. He favors the humble. So humble yourself before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Humble yourself. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't think that your achievements are so great that you are any better than anybody else. Don't ever think that. Don't ever think that you have so much learning that you know more than anybody else. Because none of us know, but... I use the illustration sometimes. I take it to school. Often I'll get a 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzle and I'll get one or two pieces of it and I'll give children that one or two pieces and I say, now tell me the entirety of the puzzle. And they look at you and go, well, it's a flower. And you go, oh, you don't know the half of it. You don't know the half of it. And you give another one to somebody else and they say, oh, I can see a window. There must be a building. And you say, you don't know the half of it. We don't know the half of it. And I've got to tell you, yeah, look, I've been to Bible college and I've studied for years and I've probably read the Bible a couple of times over. Oh, gee, aren't I great? Aren't I so good? I got to tell you, I know nothing. Every time I read this word, God just amazes me with new stuff. He challenges me in a new way. When I read passages I've read before and he says, hey, come on, humble yourself before me and I will teach you some more. He's not finished with me yet. I know he's not finished with you. He's not finished with anybody. Let's be gracious and humble. Let's go back to Gideon. And looking at verses 5 and 8, we'll get our next bit. Looking at verses 5 and 8. In verse 5, when they reached Succoth, Gideon asked the leaders of the town, "Please give my warriors some food." And in verse 8, from there Gideon went up to Peniel and again asked for food. What do I get from this? We need to be willing to ask for help. We need to be willing to ask for help. He was asking for food. Why? Because they had just fought a battle. They had just 300 men. Remember this, 300 men had just defeated 120,000. They had just been in the battle of their life. Guess what? They're hungry and they're tired. And they're wondering whether somebody can offer them some food, some sustenance. Because why? Because they are pursuing, they are keeping on going. Don't be so focused on your goal. Don't be so focused on what your gifts are that you don't remember that there are others here to help. And that there are others that have giftings that can support you and encourage you. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Be willing, in actual fact, to ask for help. Be willing to recognize what you don't have because other people have it. I absolutely love, there's a saying that I remember hearing, and I can't remember where it was, but one teacher one time, I think it might have been at Bible college, and he just said, "I love collective wisdom. I love collective wisdom. I love the collective of the body of Christ. I love it because what is my lacking, what I don't understand, somebody else does. What I don't have, somebody else does." It just, we are the body of Christ. We are all not meant to be fingers. We are all not meant to be the mouthpiece. We are not all meant to be the feet. We are the body of Christ. We all have gifts and we need to ask each other for help. So if you need prayer, ask for prayer. Don't feel you've got to do yourself. Do it by yourself. If you need support, ask for support. If you need help, ask for help. Gideon, as great as he was, the 300 had just defeated 120,000. Surely they were riding high on, "Aren't we good? We can deal with 15,000. Whew, let's get them. We don't need food. We don't need anything." They needed sustenance and they needed other people. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Be willing to ask for help. So what are we? We have to be gracious and humble. We need to be willing to ask for help. What else do I learn from here? If we look at verse 7 and verse 9. So Gideon, after the Lord gives, Gideon said, "After the Lord gives me victory over Zeba and Zalmanim." How did you say that? You said it so well. Anyway, that one. That other dude there, "I will return and tear your flesh with the thorns and the briars from the wilderness." And he said to the other guys, "I'll come and tear down your tower." Why did he say this? Because they said, "We're not going to give you the bread until we see you win the victory. Until you show us you've got these guys in your hands, you've got them under custody, we're not going to help you, we're not going to support you." Now, he could have dealt with them then and there, but I think what I learned from this, for me, is that there are still times when we need to, even though we are gracious and humble, we still need to be what? We still need to be bold and assertive. We are not told to be weak. We are not told to cower away. When they did not help him, he was bold enough to say, "Hey, I need to deal with that because that is actually disobedience. It is God who is calling you to help me. And I've asked for help in God's name and you are saying no, then I will deal with that." We at times have to be bold and assertive. In 1 Philippians 1 verse 20, it says this. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past, and I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. That there are going to be times when we have to be bold, even to the point of righteous anger. There are going to be times when we are allowed to become assertive, as long as it doesn't turn into pride. I believe that assertiveness can very quickly, and I believe we see it in the world now, we often have people who you cannot teach anything because they have taken assertiveness too far. They've taken the sense of assertiveness, in other words, you know and you can do, and they've taken it to a point where you can teach them nothing. We're not talking about that kind of assertiveness here. We're talking about a boldness and an assertiveness to stand up for just things. To stand up when there is a wrong being done, to be able to say, no, it needs to be righted. That there was a willingness for people to stand up and say recently that no, we believe we can vote no and we have a right to. If that is my conviction. But am I to become proud and am I to force that upon people in an unjust way? No. Was Jesus just when he came into the temple and he overturned the tables and he said to them, you're a brood of vipers? Does that sound like grace and humility and humbleness? No, that's bold and assertive. There are going to be times when God calls us and we are allowed to stand and say, yes, I have to be bold. I have to step out. And for me, what Gideon teaches me here is that he said to these guys, this is injustice. This is wrong, and I will deal with wrong. It's a bit like in a family, when parents sometimes, I'm just getting ahead of myself. Yes. No, both. I can do both. Okay, be bold and assertive. Where sometimes parents, we think we just want to love our children and we just want to help them. And I know there's a lot of teaching around that says, you know, we should not discipline our children. We're not allowed to give them a smack. But you know, the Word of God says that if we withhold the rod, we spoil the child. The Bible actually talks that discipline is important. Discipline is important as a parent. And so if we don't discipline our children, then we actually end up encouraging them just to do as they wish. And we are told we have to be bold and assertive. We have to teach them this. We have to teach them that to their actions there is a reaction, there is a consequence. And so, in this instance, these guys were responding to Gideon, and he was able to be bold and say, no, there's a consequence to that, I'm sorry. There is a consequence to that. And there will be a punishment, and there was a punishment. He came back and he dealt with them. And that's what leads me into the next one. In verse 4, move my thing, there it is, Judges 8. Verse 4. In verse 4, where are we? Gideon then crossed the Jordan River with his 300 men, and though exhausted, they continued to chase the enemy. And in verse 17, he also tore down the tower. I've written the wrong verse there. Okay. Before that, it was verse, I think, Gideon returned to Succoth and he dealt with them. That was verse 14 and 15. He actually came back and he did deal with them. And in verse 17, he dealt with them. And what God is teaching me here is to be consistent and to follow through. We need to be consistent and follow through. When we threaten something or when we say we're going to do something, that we do it. Now, that can be negative or positive. When we threaten some punishment, we give punishment if punishment's required. Or if I say I'm going to pray for you, then I pray for you. If I say I'm going to commit to that thing, then I commit to it. That we need to be people of our word and we need to be consistent and follow through. Gideon, even though he would have been tired, even though the last thing he felt like doing was going back and dealing with his own people, with the people who were on his side. He just dealt with the enemy. He didn't want to have to deal with his own people. But he came back and he followed through. He was consistent. Isaiah 40, verse 31, because in consistency, I want to look at two things here. He was consistent and he followed through. Firstly, where did he follow through? He was pursuing. There's several times in this scripture where it talks about the fact that they were pursuing. Now that is actually a hunting terminology. It was in the hunt. When you hunt something, it isn't just a quick thing. It usually takes time. There are people who go out hunting and they will sit for days in one place just waiting for that animal to come. They have to be persistent in what they are doing. They have to follow through. If they want to reach their goal, they have to pursue. And there is a sense of time, there is a sense of difficulty, there is a sense of resilience that comes out here that we need to grab hold of and say we need to be consistent in our pursuing of God, that we want to find out from Him, that we want to learn from Him. We need to pursue the things of God, and we need to pursue the goals that He gives us. When He lays a goal before us, when He lays a challenge out, are we going to pursue it and see it through to the end? That was the consistent and follow through that God was showing me here. And that comes out in Isaiah 40, 31, where it says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." When we are willing to pursue as God wants us to pursue, then I believe He will bless us. But also that we need to follow through on the punishment to be consistent. In verses 16 and 17, He followed through on the punishment. He dealt with them. Now in the section that we didn't get to read, beyond verse 21, there's a little bit more that does come out here. Where He comes back. He comes back and He has won the victory. And they then say to Him, "Hey, we want you to be king. We want you to rule over us for all that you've done. We want to lift you up and give you the glory and honor you." And what did He do? Gideon actually said, "No, I will not be your king. God is your king." And for me here, this is saying that we need to be faithful to God. We need to be faithful to God. Galatians 6:14, "I will boast and boast only in Christ. I will only boast in my God." So we need to be gracious and humble. We need to be willing to ask for help. We need to be bold and assertive. We need to be consistent and follow through. We need to be faithful to God. And finally, we need to beware. We need to beware. And that's not two words. That's one word. Beware. Because in what we didn't read, and you can go home and you can read that last part of Gideon, of Judges 8, Gideon actually then says, bring some of the spoils, bring some of the earrings and the stuff that you got. And he got them all put together and he melted them down and he made an ephod out of it. Now, an ephod was actually sort of like a garment, one of the priests used to wear. But he made one in such a way that I think it was like an idol. It was like a statuey, idol-y thing. And he said, "Make this ephod," and it was meant to be, in a sense, a remembrance of the victory and of the glory that had gone on. But they had it set up, and they set it up in one of their towns, in the town where Gideon was from. But then what happened was, it says in the Word, that it became a stumbling block to Gideon and his family. And this is what God says to me. He says, "Beware. When you are on the mountaintop of victory, beware, because the only place you can go is down without God." When you are on the mountaintop of victory in your life, or when you are on the mountaintop or the pinnacle of success, when you think you've made it and you're great and you're standing on top like Rocky on the top of the steps and going, "Yes, I've made the steps, I've done it." Beware, because the only way is down unless you are with God. What do I mean by that? Well, you can't get down off the mountain except go down. You can only walk down, but when you're with God, you can actually rise to higher heights. He can take you. You can step off into nothingness, and he will take you on. So beware. Gideon just lost the plot a little. So many positives. He was gracious and humble. He was willing to ask for help. He was bold and assertive. He was consistent and he was faithful to God. But in the end, he just came down a little. And he began, in a sense, to take some of the glory. Even though he had said, I will not be your king. God is your king. And then, in the midst of the victory and that greatness, he then turns around. Now let's make an ephod. Let's just put it up. And yeah, it's good, isn't it? And they just lost it. In the midst of so much positive, one little grain of yeast can spoil things. And spoil things. Beware. Beware that we don't become proud of our achievements. Beware that we don't lose our consistency. Beware that we forget to give glory and grace to God. Beware. Beware. So praise God. There's probably so much more in that verse, in those verses. And I would really encourage you, go home and read them and say, God, teach me some stuff. Teach me some new stuff. But what he taught me this week was, I need to be gracious and humble. I need to be willing to ask for help. I need to be bold and assertive. I need to be consistent and follow through on what he's asked me to do. I need to be faithful to God and not take the glory for myself. And I need to continue to beware. There's a little story of a guy who was a zookeeper. And he used to deal with the vipers and the snakes. And they had always told him, beware. Beware, because they strike at the slightest bit of, if you aren't always just totally aware, they will strike. And one day, as he was going into the cage, he actually had to bend down and he took his eyes off the snake. And right at that moment, bang, it struck him. Sometimes, as we're just going about our thing, we forget to keep our awareness. Beware. God is with you. God has so much for you. He has plans for you, plans to prosper you, plans to see your future full of hope. Grab hold of the plans he has. Run for the goals. But remember, be gracious and humble. Be willing to ask for help. Be bold and assertive. Be consistent. Be faithful to him. And beware. Beware of our humanness. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how much there is in there. We thank you for what it can encourage us in and how it can challenge us in our everyday life. And I know, Lord, this morning, you have spoken to every person here, including me. You have challenged us, Lord God. I thank you for so much positive things that there are in our lives and in what you are doing. And I pray, Lord, that you would continue to strengthen us, continue to work with us, Lord, continue to teach us as we humble ourselves before you and say, Lord, work with us. Work with us. He works with our weakness. He is great when we are weak. Oh, Lord, thank you for how great you are. Thank you for your grace and your mercy towards me and towards each one here. I thank you for the love and strength that you have shown. You are awesome, Lord. You are awesome. We have no musicians. And so I'm stuck. There was one more verse. Can we do one more verse while we're just getting the musicians? We'll just do one more verse, and it's this, 1 Corinthians 10:12. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12. I forgot to grab that one. If you think you are standing strong, be careful not to fall.